welcome. This is God is in This, the podcast ministry of Bethany First Church, United Church of Christ in Bethany, Connecticut. For more than 270 years, our congregation has gathered in covenant to worship, grow, and serve, grounded in faith and open to the Spirit's movement in our time. As an open and affirming church, we believe every person is created in the image of God and fully welcomed here. Across every race, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, ability, and background. Each episode features a Sunday sermon from our pastor, the Reverend Jonathan Paradis, or from a guest preacher. A message rooted in Scripture, shaped by justice and alive to the questions of today. Whether you're walking the dog, commuting to work, folding laundry, or simply pausing for a breath, we're grateful you've chosen to spend this time with us. Here at Bethany First Church, we believe God shows up, not only in the sanctuary, but in the struggle, in the doubt, in the joy, and in the everyday. So wherever you are, and however you're listening, welcome. This is God is in This.
Good morning. I bring you greetings from Andover Newton Seminary at Yale Divinity School, where we educate inspiring leaders for faith communities, some of whom have been filling this pulpit during this time of parental leave for Pastor Jonathan. And most of all, I'm just really happy to see my colleague, Pastor Jonathan, and wish him well on this new step in his ongoing parental journey. It's an honor to be with you here this morning. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we ask that you bless the words that have been inscribed by your people in your scriptures. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Let us now open our hearts as we hear the word of God together. Our reading from scripture is written in the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the church in Rome, beginning at the 12th verse. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all, because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, So one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Here ends our reading of Scripture this morning. May God apply its truths unto our hearts. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's great to be with you here this morning at Bethany First, a church that I really came to love early in my years living in New Haven. I moved to New Haven in 2016, and at that time, a relatively recent Andover Newton graduate, Shane Zellweger, was serving here. And I preached here a few times when Shane was your pastor, but then you were in a time of pastoral vacancy when we had this little problem you might remember. Do you call it COVID-19? Do you remember that? I know, it was kind of a big deal. You might have heard of it. And during that time when you were in vacancy, I had a colleague named Rick Hewlett, who's a UCC pastor, had actually been my parents' pastor, who got in touch to say his daughter and her spouse, who live in Bethany, had had a baby. And they wanted the baby to be baptized, but they hadn't yet figured out where they'd go to church or how church would work in their family. So they asked if I knew the pastor here, and do you think that maybe the baby could be baptized here? So I knew that that you were in vacancy at that moment, your interim had not yet started, and the conference gave me permission to preside at the baptism right here. Now it was high COVID, so the windows were open, the doors were open, everybody had masks on. I didn't know who anybody was. I barely recognized the baby. She was the little one, Nell, so I at least knew to baptize the right person. And we had pictures taken out by the bell here. So the last time I led worship in this setting was baptizing a baby. Now the last time I participated in worship in my life was at the beginning of Lent, Ash Wednesday. Baptism and Ash Wednesday have a lot in common. Now, I grew up in a church like this one. We didn't do any ashes on the forehead. Do you do ashes on the forehead here? No, not really. We didn't. In fact, when I saw people with ashes throughout my young life, I figured, oh, Catholic, right? That's what Catholic people do. And our church was so not Catholic that if somebody came in with ashes, I would have thought, isn't that just a totally different religion? Now, my mother's Catholic, and I still thought that. It wasn't until I was in seminary that I served a congregation that imposed ashes. And at that more mature age, I found the words that are used when receiving ashes to be rather shocking. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. You're gonna die. Wow, that's intense. And yet, the words of baptism are actually not that different. Because when we baptize a baby, we say that when somebody's baptized, they die to this world and rise in Christ. They die to this world and rise in Christ. I kind of skipped over that part with Nell here, because that part of the teachings of baptism, again, are rather intense. And with COVID going on, we have plenty of intensity to deal with. But this morning, I want to take some time to think about, well, what would have happened if I had dwelt on that part of the baptism story with Nell here, lo, those 6 years ago? Or what did it mean when people received ashes this past Wednesday, hearing those words, dust you are, and to dust you shall return? Specifically, I want to explore the question, When we read in the scriptures that with Christ's resurrection, death died, what does that mean? Death died. What does that mean? So imagine aliens landed here in Bethany from their spaceship. And stranger things have happened. It's true. It's true. Stranger people have happened. It's true. So imagine aliens land in Bethany and they come to us in this sanctuary with a lot of questions about how this world works. How does creation work? How does humanity work? And because we're open-minded people and we'd love to help these aliens with their research project, we start answering their questions, but with every question we answer, they have more questions and more questions. Because everything we're telling them is built on a foundation of assumptions, a foundation of things that we already know. So imagine a dialogue where they ask, how do people die? And we say, well, people die for different reasons. Sometimes their bodies just get tired. Sometimes they get injured. And sometimes they get sick. And the aliens say, what about that sick thing? What's the sick thing? And they say, some people die when organs fail. And other people die when they get cancer. And the alien says, cancer? What's cancer? By now we're getting a little impatient, but we're in this for the long haul. They came a long way. So we say, well, cancer is when different cells in your body start replicating too much and too fast. And they say, well, didn't you just say that being sick is about failing organs? Well, yeah, but sometimes you get sick because of a virus. But that cancer thing started inside you, right? Well, yeah, the cancer starts to grow and the alien interrupts and says, but isn't that just more you? And you say, well, yeah, but it's not supposed to grow. But so that means that you are dying because your cells are killing you. Do you see how this loop could start getting a little overwhelming? Especially if these aliens don't know what illness is, or they have illnesses, but they work totally differently from ours. So here we are trying to explain death, viruses, organ failure, cancer. And with every answer, they want more answers. And we find ourselves stuck in a loop. I use this story as a metaphor, as an analogy of what it was like for the Apostle Paul to write a letter to the church in Rome. So, we're still less than 100 years after Jesus died and rose, and the church, as we understand it, is just a little zygote. It's brand new. And Paul, as you might know, was a traveling preacher, a traveling pastor, who would go to different pockets of Christian movement and help them understand who Jesus was and what Jesus meant. But when he wrote the letter to the church in Rome that was read in your hearing this morning, he had never been there before. And he didn't know very much about them. And yet, he's trying to teach them Christian theology in preparation for a visit that he planned to pay. He was in Corinth, where the church was one he knew better. He founded the church in Corinth, but not the one in Rome. So he was in Corinth working on this letter and trying to think ahead about how to explain Christ's meaning and purpose to people who were shaped by a different set of foundational assumptions that he could fully understand. Now, he could make some guesses as to what the church in Rome was shaped by. So he knows, for instance, that the church in Rome started in the Jewish community, so they know something about Moses and law. But now the church is primarily Gentile. And the Gentile community would be more familiar with Greek philosophy and Greek mythology. He also knows that Rome is the capital city of the empire. So they know something about militarism and might. So as he knows this information, but not the actual people, he tries to write a letter explaining Christianity, and even Bible scholars say that the passage that I read aloud is practically impossible to understand. Now, if you heard my reading this morning and said, oh, I understand that perfectly, I'd like to know, what are you on? And where can I get some? Because for me, it was a very convoluted read. It's got all these looping analogies and contradictions and sentences that just go on forever and end nowhere. Because trying to explain the meaning and the purpose of Christ coming among us, sharing our common lot, conquering sin and death, and reconciling the world to himself in the resurrection is actually really hard to explain. And it's really hard to understand. But if we were to try to take our text from today and just come up with the upshot of it, here it is. Because of Christ, everything is now different. Because of Christ, everything is now different. Paul says a few things we can parse. He says that between Adam and Moses, so the beginning of time and then the delivery of the law, between those times, when people died, they just died. Then Christ came. He defeated death. He literally got over death. He was resurrected. But he didn't just find resurrection for himself, but rather for everyone. He brought resurrection for everyone. And because resurrection was afforded to all of us, we have nothing to fear. So now that you hear that concept, you can see maybe a little bit more about what I was referring to with that whole idea of baptism, being dying to this world and rising in Christ. Doesn't that make a little more sense now? And then those ashes, dust you are and to dust you shall return. Remember your death because it already happened and you already rose. A mid-20th century theologian named Paul Tillich developed this idea of Christ's resurrection being a resurrection for all of us. And your pastor, Jonathan, was probably forced to read a certain amount of Paul Tillich. Oh, yes, I think you were. And I know Pastor Nancy out there, you probably have some Tillich in your repertoire as well. So what Paul Tillich wrote about was that fear, anxiety, our fears, human fear, is all rooted in an ultimate fear of death. That you can take all the fears that you have on a daily basis and you can trace them all the way back in your own spirit to the fact that all of us are afraid to die. So, Tillich writes, that if we believe that death has already happened and we've already risen in Christ, then we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear because of the resurrection. And therefore, we should live as though nothing can hurt us because the ultimate already happened. Jesus conquered death. Jesus killed death. Jesus defeated death in the resurrection. So nothing can hurt us. You can't fire me. I quit. It's already happened. We've already risen in Christ. Much like the church in Rome, we human beings in the 21st century in the United States of America live under a lot of rules that come from a lot of different sources. The Romans had the law, they had Greek mythology, they had Greek philosophy, they had militarism. We have these messages that we're supposed to have endless need for money, endless need for physical beauty. We're supposed to be entertained all the time. Those are the messages we get. We're told by these rules that we never have sufficient power and control, but we should always want more than we have. We get these messages about responsibilities, how we have to fulfill our responsibilities, and then other messages about how great it is to get out of our responsibilities. So with all of these different rules and competing voices, it would take a lot for a teacher to cut all the way through it and tell us the truth, which is that God loves us just as we are. We're okay just as we are. God loves us unconditionally. And the hard work of resurrection has already been done. And it's been given to us as a gift. So to cut through this whole mess of rules, the teacher says something so outrageous. He says, and now, ministering to you in his name, I say, don't be afraid of death. Live as though you've already died and risen again. And then you'll know what freedom really feels like. The theme for our service today is choose the light. The theological concept behind the notion of choosing light is the concept of free will. The concept of free will in the Christian tradition tells us that death might have died and the resurrection might have already happened, but that doesn't mean our behavior doesn't matter. Still, free will teaches us that we do good because God loves us. We don't do good to get God to love us. God is not to be pushed around in that way. We do good because God loves us. Good behavior is the fruit of a healthy tree. But how do we get healthy? Now, Paul, in our scriptures, uses the term justification. Justification is coming into alignment. Does anybody remember when keyboards required you to hit return at the end of a sentence? Remember that? It was quaint. It was true. We had to hit return to get to the whole next line. And we say that the right-hand side of the page is where the margin is justify. Yeah? You justify the margins. Alignment. We come into alignment. Paul says that we have risen in Christ, and yet we still have to make choices. How are we going to come into alignment with what Christ has done for us in the resurrection? And we must align our lives to make them worthy of the gift that has already been given us. That gift was given us at Ash Wednesday. It was given us in our baptism. And it's given to us each time we choose the light and align ourselves with what God wants from us, what God knows we have to offer. For this, I give thanks to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany First Church. If you're nearby, we'd love to welcome you in person. Worship is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. right here at 511 Amity Road in Bethany, Connecticut. To learn more about our ministries, upcoming events, or ways to support our mission, visit bethanyfirstchurch.org or follow us on social media at Bethany First Church. We're so glad you joined us. And we hope something in this message stays with you. Until next time, may you walk with courage, live with compassion, and always remember, God is in this.